from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
For those in recovery, support from friends and family often leads to better outcomes. Here's to those who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. Visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose for information about treatment options and how to support those experiencing addiction.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
Let's go around the NFL in the loop style.
Why are you smiling?
Because I love football.
Brought to you by Quick Assist. Here's John Lopez and Reggie Adetula.
I'm going to tell you all about how much fun you're going to have this season.
On Houston's sports leader, Sports Radio 610.
Shout out to Quick Assist making it possible for us to go around the NFL on a Tuesday. With our guy, B. Scott. What's happening, man?
Man, I'm feeling good, man. Before we get around the NFL, though, I do have to come in here and defend Figgy, because I noticed in the crosstalk where y'all were kind of just throwing some strays at people in their mid-30s that dye their hair. And meanwhile, literally the producer.
That's different.
The
but
producer,
he looked good, though.
That's what I'm saying.
Different.
I'm just saying, don't put everybody in the box. You can be like Figgy, perhaps. And I wouldn't say to try this at home, because everybody can't be like Figgy.
Nah, you got to have
the
sauce.
But we do have a living and breathing example of somebody in their mid-30s who can show their eccentricity through their hair.
That's right. That's different, though. He was talking about blonde.
No, look, that's
my
not
man's
different.
Hair is green and purple.
It's not different.
Figgy, do you have your camera up?
No, I don't.
Do you put a 3-shot up on the YouTube and the Twitch real quick so everybody can make sure that they see that you got a ponytail sitting on top of your head and green and purple hair. Glasses that I'm not convinced have a prescription.
That's crazy.
Oh, they're not.
And a bag over his shoulder. Figgy is living his best life in his mid-30s.
That's real street.
And
wear.
I want y'all to know that this is doable.
Real
this is what's
stuff.
Possible right here.
I disagree.
Right?
I will say I wasn't offended when they was talking, but I felt like I had to take myself out of the conversation. Because I could be a weird cat at times, but
it's
I can
different.
Make things look
We're
cool.
talking blonde.
Nah, I don't think it's different.
Y'all
think
it's different.
Y'all don't think I could go straight blonde?
I think you could. See, but
it would be weird.
Again, I think this is where I circle back to a mantra that I like using, which is you do what you want when you're popping. And if there's one thing that's popping, it's Figgy Fig.
There you go. I just wanted to say my piece on that, because I'm like, man, do they not know the dude on the other side of the glass right now has green and
different
purple
category,
hair?
Man.
Right now?
Oh, different
I
category.
It. I definitely thought about it. Somebody who is also popping. Left tackle for the San Francisco 49ers, Trent Williams.
Go get that money, dog.
Getting that money. That's right. Make the sound effect run, too. Ultimately, Williams currently under contract for the 2026 season after inking a 6-year, $138 million extension in 2021. He was they're closing in is what we've seen. Do we have new numbers? Because last I saw, they were closing in on getting him signed and getting a new deal to start the season.
That was the same thing I saw from Schefter about maybe an hour and a half ago or somewhere around there.
Yeah,
so,
it was in there.
So, but my big takeaway from this new deal for him is really just looking at the 49ers as a whole. I think that's really the story and the fact that they are able to capitalize on this moment. Like, we understand that there was the drama with Brandon Ayuk that was ultimately resolved a few days ago. We understand that there was potentially drama with Trent Williams as well that looks like it's going to be resolved. But the point is they are able to go all in. Like, just look at all of the players that have guaranteed high-level guarantees and huge annual value on their contracts from Fred Warner to the Bosa brother. I always forget which one if I know.
That is Nick. Joey played for the
If I know two brothers, I'm going to call them by each other's name.
Yeah, the Bosa boys.
The Bosa boys.
That's right.
I mean, all of these guys, Deebo Samuel, they're able to do this because they have the quarterback on the rookie deal right now. And it just shows you, like, you can capitalize on the moment, kick that can down the road, and try to go in and win a Super Bowl. That's what the 49ers are doing. And I would say it's somewhat instructive to what might be the road for the Texans in the next few years while they do, I shouldn't say the next few years, next 2 years or so, while they still have C.J. Stroud on his rookie deal. It's why you're able to go out and sign a Danielle Hunter. It's why you're able to spend $20 million on a Danico Autry, because you have the quarterback cheap.
For sure. And I do think it's interesting that, you know, maybe it doesn't fully correlate, but the way that they altered Stephon Diggs' deal when he got here, understanding that, hey, we don't necessarily want to be on the hook for money when you have to go and find that money for your starting quarterback, who we already know is going to get that second deal here.
Yeah. I think it's a sign of a good organization when you get this stuff done. Like, let's think about this. Like, what? How do the Chiefs stay on top? Because they get these kinds of deals done when it doesn't look like they could. They cut bait, obviously, with Tyreek Hill, but they know what they want and they go get him. The 49ers too. They I always say it. It'll get done. Not always on bad organizations. The bad organizations will, or teams that aren't in contention, kind of screw this up. And I think good organizations. What's the Cowboys' problem right now?
Oh yeah.
Well, they got CD done, but
same problem they've been having for 30 years.
Tip of the iceberg there. Like, I think it's a sign of a good organization when you figure out a way to get these kinds of things done.
And they ran this right up to the deadline for them, because, I mean, look, week one is this upcoming weekend. So they finally got those guys kind of situated. But also investing in the right place. The offensive line, you mentioned the Chiefs. They took that Tyreek Hill money. They made sure to go get Joe Thuney to make sure that offensive line is together. So, yeah, I think that these things are also matter, right? Making sure that you're investing in the right places that help a team win.
Yeah, 49ers, obviously a good organization. Chiefs, obviously a good organization. But I think also y'all bring up the Tyreek Hill thing. Mm-hmm. That's another example of having to make tough decisions once that bill comes due. Like, they were able to run things with Tyreek Hill and Patrick Mahomes up to a point, but when it got to the point where Tyreek Hill thought he was for valid reason, Tyreek Hill, obviously that dude, so they had to make tough decisions. Right now, the 49ers are in a spot where they can pay everybody without having to pay the quarterback. So everybody but the quarterback. The Texans are in a similar situation.
The super rookie deal.
Exactly. But eventually that bill comes due and you are going to have to make tough decisions. I trust the good organizations to do so, like the Chiefs, like the 49ers, and I suspect that the Texans will be one of those.
Hell, the Dolphins.
The Dolphins, yeah. And I suspect the Texans will be one of those as well when the time comes.
All right, so Figgy Fig, a Cleveland native himself, even though he's a Houstonian in our hearts, made sure that we knew that the Cleveland Browns will be playing in the same stadium but with a different name. Now, previously the stadium had been called what? Cleveland Browns Stadium?
So it was at one point.
Was it Paycor?
It was Cleveland.
No, Paycor's Cleveland.
I was going to say, I hope it wasn't Cleveland Browns Stadium.
No, at first it was, and then they got a sponsorship, which was First Energy Stadium.
Oh,
which
is remember the first
light company there. Yeah. And then some janky stuff happened with that, where they had to take the sign down ASAP.
Sure.
And so it went back to Cleveland Browns Stadium, and now it is Huntington Bank Stadium.
Huntington Bank
Field
Bank.
I'll get back to you on that about the Cleveland years. Browns will be playing.
So the bank, the H Bank.
All right,
we got to do something.
Are they going to be the bank? Because in that division, they already have the H Bank.
I don't know, Hunting Bank. I don't know. They're going to do something. They're going to swag that up a little bit.
The $230 million bank.
Huntington Bank did not put that money down for y'all to swag it up. They put that money down for you to say Huntington Bank.
Point we'll take. You are correct.
You have to.
Hey, people are going to say Cleveland Browns Stadium for a long time.
All right. Yeah. So I want to poll the room because I know Lopez's stance, but I kind of want to get everybody else's name changes. Like, how do you typically respond to them?
Not well. Not well. It's like, look, the William, what are they called? The Transco now? What's the Transco Tower been called for 30 years?
Williams Tower?
It's the Transco to me.
Yeah.
Okay. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. Like, so y'all were talking about Blockbuster earlier in the show or the last segment.
Yeah.
There was on Post Oak back closer to my neighborhood, there was a Hollywood Video or it was once a Blockbuster and became a Hollywood Video. And so it was always Blockbuster.
You were always going down to the
Blockbuster. You know what I mean? So it's one of those kind of situations where whatever you were when I first come to know you is who you are.
Unless it gets better. Unless it becomes something that you like more.
Yeah, I guess that's fair. I guess that's fair. But it, you know what? It'll still be harder. Like, it can actually get better. And it'll still be harder to divorce what I knew from what I'm seeing now.
First
impressions are lasting impressions.
It takes me 2-3 years to even acknowledge the new name.
Do you feel like they got to be a good team for it to catch on to?
That too. Like,
because
the link,
if it's a bad team,
you know, the Eagles.
Yeah.
Yeah, so like Staples Center, for example, which is now crypto.
Crypto.com right? Arena.
It's Staples Center to me.
Yes.
But let's say they had tried to take the Forum and make it Staples Center, the Forum would have stayed the Forum. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
So it's like whatever it was is what it is.
Yeah.
And that might be a me. I'm not saying that that's the right way.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I'm just saying that's how I operate.
Yeah,
I right, wrong, or indifferent.
The Staples Center thing was very funny to me because like there's people that are like, yo, it'll always be the Staples Center to me. I'm like, you are that committed to the place that sells printer paper. Right. Like it's just we are just doing nostalgia. Like the name really don't matter all that much.
I think it's just a habit of calling it the Staples Center.
Yeah, it's not about Staples. It's about you. You know, it's not about the name. It's about me and comfort and the reluctance for change. But I think a lot of people, even folks who find themselves to be more open-minded to change, are probably more reluctant to change than they'd like to admit.
Yeah.
And I would classify myself as one of those. It's like, you know what? It's Staples Center.
Shout out to Enron.
Yeah, shout out to Enron.
No, not on these airwaves. No, sir.
Not shout out to the actual Enron.
Exactly. That's why.
Not the actual Enron.
No distinctions need to be made. All the way on Enron.
Yeah.
All the way.
We know why that happened. Shout out to Minute Maid. Especially, how about that?
What they did to the city?
Oh, my God.
Absolutely no.
Shout out to
on Enron.
Shout out to the juice box. Shout out to the juice box. Minute Maid Park.
That's right. Yeah. Absolutely.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
I'm John Aran, and I have a new podcast called The Varsity. I will bring on the smartest people I know to break down the hottest topics in sports media. Available now on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
In life, some days are good, and some could be better. The same is true for recovery. Both take work. Both take adjustments. Finding your path is a key part of your journey, and then it's all about walking it every day. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Be open to every part of the journey and welcome it. It's unique and it's all part of you. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Some other things that are changing, the Texans' kind of status and stature around the league, the NFL.com and Cynthia Freeland of them kind of put together some projections when it comes to the season. And it sounds like NFL.com and Cynthia Freeland are telling you, if you are a betting person, bet the over on Texans' wins. FanDuel's over under placed them at 9.5. I think we all kind of understand that. The place that Cynthia Freeland has, she has their floor at 8.8 wins, but their ceiling at 12.6 wins, maybe getting up to 13 wins. So, like, it seems like leaning towards the over. How do you respond to that kind of perspective on these Texans?
Well, Reginald, last year I had the Texans. I created a scenario where they could win 12 to 13 games last year when nobody really believed in them. And now they are a better team, I think a significantly better team than they were then. So I would be on the side, if I were a betting man, and I'm not, but if I were, I'd be on the side of betting the over as well. Like, I think that you look at this team as a 10-win team last year, and I understand that the schedule is more difficult, but to me, the team is much more significantly improved than that of the schedule, if that makes sense. So I think that the improvement that the team made,
they've improved more than the schedule is tougher.
Exactly. Yeah. And so that's the way I look at it. I think that and if you look at it that way, they should be at least a 10-win team, which would put you over on the 9.5, and I think they could do even better than that. I have them winning 11 games this year, so that would put me squarely above that 9.5.
I'd say 10 or 11, yeah, myself.
Yeah, I just, again, if you hadn't had enough of national media sources having positivity towards the Texans, here's some more for you. Yeah. Again, Cynthia Freeland, NFL.com, basically telling you to take the over on the Texans' win-loss total for this upcoming season. Some other things around the NFL. Ja'Marr Chase, apparently back at street clothes again. So that hold-in situation, not really going all that well for the Bengals. I know that, Lopez, your stance is it always gets done. We're getting damn close to it not right now, though.
See, and this is why I'm glad that this came up after we wrapped up the conversation about the 49ers and the Kansas City Chiefs and what I think a lot of us hope the Texans end up being, which is a very clear and obvious, well-run organization in the league.
Bingo.
And that is what the Bengals historically
have not been. Yeah.
I was interested to see if they would turn the corner, because remember they didn't even have an indoor practice facility up until a couple years ago. But Joe Burrow actually got them to do that, and I was like, oh, maybe they're turning the corner.
Also, one of the smallest scouting staffs. They have issue with like traveling to didn't scout used, players. Like they
didn't they used to have like to share jock straps and
come
stuff
on,
like
man.
That.
You want to talk like about cheap. You want to talk about skimping.
Cheap.
I mean these Chiefskates
go that far.
Hey, hey, did y'all see what they posted about selling their TVs in the Concourse?
Yes, they did. They sold, so they kind of got a replacement on some of their
Come
TVs,
on,
and they went ahead and did a sale for folks. You can get some TVs for the low.
Why are y'all selling those
TVs?
Donate
them to the Boys
Give
Club
them away,
or something.
Man.
Just
they got to recoup some money.
Selling them for $30.
Wait.
Mike Brown needs to get a little more money in his pocket.
Wait a
like
second,
30
wait a
bucks.
Hold on. An NFL team having a garage sale?
That's right.
Yes.
Say, come on down.
Yeah, but TVs.
We'll barter it out.
Hey, Ja'Marr Chase, dog. Might see the writing on the wall. But like, man, these folks ain't about it.
They not
Joe,
about
I love
it
you,
at
my
all,
boy.
Man.
But, hey, we got to
That's
kind of
my
money.
Point. Like, good teams get it done.
Exactly.
I think the deals always get done. And Ja'Marr Chase's will. But because, like, what Reggie's talking about, hey, we're kind of up against it now. That's not a good organization.
Right. And I'm exactly. And that's the point. I'm not exactly sold on the it always gets done with this team. With this organization because of that.
Yeah.
Like it gets done with good organizations. I'm not sure how it gets done with bad organizations. That to me, honestly, and I've had this discussion with Ron Hughley on the afternoon show of The Drive. Like he's given the Bengals credit for the last few years, this Joe Burrow run.
Yeah.
I've given him credit for lucking into Joe Burrow and Ja'Marr Chase and having this run, but have not been sold just because of it. That they are a well-run organization. We will see.
And they've taken a hit on their defense when it comes to talent, too. This could be an interesting season for them. Some other notes. Ricky Pearsall, going back to the Niners, that good thing that they did get IU done. Ricky Pearsall was supposed to factor in the draftee from Florida, rather. Mm-hmm. Unfortunately, he was shot. Now, he didn't require any surgery, thankfully, but he will start the season on the NFI list. Non-football injury list, and he's going to miss 4 weeks. So, yeah, the Niners got all sorts of things happening around that org right now.
This is a really scary story, the details of it. Like
What's up with all these NFL players getting shot lately?
Well, this one, though, this was supposedly a robbery attempt, and he has a struggle with a 17-year-old kid with a gun, and they shoot. That was my understanding.
Yes.
That the two of them shot each other, or the gun went off, and both were hit
Both got shot, and apparently had nothing to do, at least when it comes to investigators, nothing to do with him being a football player.
Right.
Just kind of in the wrong place at the wrong time, unfortunately.
You know, exactly. And so it's really just a scary story and remarkable when you think of it, the fact that he gets to survive this. We saw something, I wouldn't say similar because all of these situations are different, but obviously Tank Dell was shot in the offseason.
Yeah.
And we talked about how, like, just the thin line between here and there.
Yep.
How close he came to losing his life that night. And it's the same thing that at broad daylight too with Ricky
this
Pearsall.
One sounded really bad when it first broke.
Oh, very unfortunate and really just strange and odd circumstances, but fortunate to escape the worst possible outcome here with Ricky Pearsall, aside from the fact that he was somebody that they wanted to factor into what they were going to do offensively.
For sure. So, I mean, wishing him the best of luck as he gets, you know, hopefully gets better, gets back to doing what's normal for him. Which is playing football and, you know, going through life. And thankful that it was not nearly as bad as it possibly could have been. Some other news real quick before we go. Houston Texans, we mentioned the idea that captains were named. Let's see if I can do this off the top. C.J. Stroud. You have Laremy Tunsil. Stephon Diggs. Those are your offensive captains. Your defensive captains. Will Anderson Jr. Jimmy Ward. Azeez Al-Shaair. And then your special teams captain, John Weeks, the long snapper. So those are your seven captains for this upcoming season. And some numbers for your programs for you to keep track of. You have a couple of number changes. Kamari Lassiter will now be wearing the number 4. Kalen Bullock will be wearing number 21. And Miles Bryant be wearing 27. So, you know, keep those updated in your brain. You probably have to look it up on week one just to get yourself right. But those are the numbers you're looking for on the defense in particular.
Kamari Lassiter and Kalen Bullock changing their numbers is the least surprising development of the offseason. 14 and 41. Swaggerless was not going to get it done. Oh, those were definitely
Jalen Swaggerless numbers, he
said. Oh, Jalen Petrie was out here wearing like 42 as a safety in his first training
22
camp.
22 is a safety number, though.
Yeah, but not for Jalen Petrie. Nah, I mean, maybe if it's 1996. But not today. Nah. We knew that change was coming.
Those look like cornerback numbers.
And they look great in the font, too. That's the thing.
Oh, yeah.
They look great in the font. So
yeah, for sure.
Shout out to those fellas getting new numbers. All right. There you go. Around the NFL here in the loop. You can get that every day at 11 right here on Sports Radio 610. But only on Tuesdays do you get it with B. Scott. And we continue this going with a segment that I'm going to start calling B. Scott's Thoughts. Let's get B. Scott's thoughts on a few things with the Texans as we're in it, man. Week one is right around the corner for us. And let's talk about all of that next.
Live from the Twin Peaks Studios, Sports Radio 610 presents In the Loop with John Lopez and Reggie Atitula.
Iron Clark, B. Scott.
B. Scott from Iron Clark, 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 B. Scott from Iron Clark.
That's right.
B. Scott from Iron Clark.
It's time for B. Scott's Thoughts here in the Loop, Sports Radio 610. John Lopez, Figgy Fig. I'm Reginald Addison.
Now, how you spelling that?
Thoughts?
Yeah.
We can spell it. Oh. We can spell it with proper spelling.
I didn't even realize that.
I saw what.
My bad, dog.
I picked up
what. Get you in trouble with your
I wasn't trying to do none of that.
No, I'm good. I just picked up what Lopez was putting down there. But we can do common spelling on B-Scott's thoughts.
Look, if
please.
You look.
There's nothing wrong with common spelling.
You can look at the run sheet, and I wrote it as just like the synonym for ideas, right? B-Scott's thoughts.
What Lopez is talking about is a different segment.
Yes,
and possibly even a different show.
That's 11 p.m. as opposed to 11 a.m. here on Sports Radio 610. But no, B. Scott, one of our Texans insider, one of the best dudes to talk about all of these things with, and so I'm very happy and we're so pleased that we have the opportunity to do this every week. But I kind of want to dig into some of the things that you're thinking about right now. And it seems like with it being game week, it's starting to be, what are some of the things we can learn from week one?
Yeah, so immediately for me, it's going to be like, this is a big test for the Texans, not just like the excitement and the anticipation and, you know, the over and under on their win total and all that, but just this game specifically, I think, is super important and really just a big test to find out where this Texans team is in certain areas. And I really like some of the things that Lopez talked about in that opening segment, five things that they need to get better at. Mm-hmm. And I think you can tie that into what's important about this week. The thing that I would say concerns me the most right now is that Anthony Richardson, Jonathan Taylor combination in the backfield, obviously the dynamic sort of element that they bring to the table as far as running the football.
Yes.
But then also, I think that Anthony Richardson has a lot of feast or famine, boom or bust potential. And there is a tendency to focus a lot on the negative with Anthony Richardson.
That's right.
And the inaccuracies and all of the pitfalls in his game, which I think are important to point out.
Mm-hmm.
But he's got a little game too. Like, he's got some things that he can actually do to beat you, both with his legs and with his arms. He's got some special ability. So I am really concerned with how they deal with that combination, both in the run game, because look, they're missing one of their biggest pieces on the defensive line in DeNico Autry for the first several games with that suspension. And obviously Christian Harris is somebody who you would depend on to be able to defend sideline to sideline, which I think is something you're going to have to do with an Anthony Richardson, the same way you had to do with a Lamar Jackson in the playoffs, or twice last year when they played the Ravens. Like, you need those elements, and so I am starting to be concerned about them not having those two specific players that I think are important to what they need to do defensively, and especially against a team that has these elements to it.
Look, all the things that we're going to be talking about this week about this game, that's the most important one. How they run the ball with Anthony Richardson, but especially with Jonathan Taylor, and how the Texans can cover that. Because you're right on Anthony Richardson. Nobody knows yet, but he's a weapon. I mean, he is an absolute weapon when things are going right. So no, I think that is the story. Christian Harris, DeNico Autry versus those two dudes.
Yeah, I think they could obviously use those two players against this team. And with Anthony Richardson, it's just a matter of, he's got to put it all together one way or another. Like if he is a superstar or if he's a flat out bust or somewhere in between, we don't know because we've only got the four games and some preseason action.
Yeah.
And like literally less than 30 games between high school, college and pro to decide whether or not this guy is good. It's hard to say one way or another without having the evidence out there. So yeah. I think this is going to be another interesting data point.
Yeah. And look, D'Amico Ryans, I was very interested in the last day or two when it comes to tech. And D'Amico Ryans and then Caserio both kind of talked about Anthony Richardson. And I think it's interesting because while, like you said, a lot of folks focus on the negative and what he can't do, it's very evident that other teams have to focus on what is the possibility. And so D'Amico was asked about Anthony Richardson yesterday and his availability, and I found what he said a little bit interesting.
It's been a really great matchup for us to start off the year. Anthony Richardson, as he showed with the limited amount of snaps that he's had, he's shown that he can be a dynamic playmaker, you know, running the ball, also throwing the football. So he's a playmaker, right? You have to account for him every single snap just because of his dynamic ability, right, to run the football. So he poses a really good challenge for us defensively, and we definitely have our hands full.
Definitely have their hands full. And you notice he used the word dynamic a whole bunch. Like, I think that's what makes this tough, right? I've often said that he's the type of player that can get you fired, and it's because you have to go in for that dynamic ability, which is a ability to run the football to where the numbers game is tough on a defense. Typically, you're guarding 11 on 10, which makes it so that this is a little bit more manageable. You're 11 on 11 in the fullest sense of the word. And then you pair that with Shane Steichen and his ability with RPOs and play calling to make it so that he puts defenders in a bind. I think this is going to be a real interesting test, as you mentioned, for the spine of the defense, particularly Henry To'oto'o, who's going to probably get some real snaps and playing time. How disciplined are you now? How good are your eyes? And when you come up and tackle, are you going to make sure to bring down who is a solid body? A couple of dudes who have really solid bodies, and Anthony Richardson and Jonathan Taylor.
Yeah, I'm glad you mentioned the RPO, because I thought Seth Payne did a real good job of breaking down not only some of the nuances in Anthony Richardson's game as a passer, like both the things that would concern you or make you doubt him, and also the things that would scare the bleep out of you if you are an opponent or the fan of an opposing team. Like, he gives you a pretty good sense for both of those things. But also this simple fact that Anthony Richardson is not a project when it comes to the RPO game. Like, he's obviously a dynamic athlete and can burn you in that way, but also like very savvy with it. Like, that's the one thing that there doesn't need to be much of a learning curve for him, going from what he's been doing before in college and the limited snaps last year and this year. Like, he is well versed in the RPO and obviously well equipped to beat you in that.
And
that
not
kind
only
of
that, not only that, but an integral part of it figures to be Jonathan Taylor.
Well, that's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
Now you got the combination. Like, which one of these guys do you want to match up against?
And I'm not talking like old school option. I mean, you might see him one or two of those plays because who you can, you know, pick your poison kind of thing. But I'm talking about like even just in the RPO.
Yeah, between the two of them and that offensive line, neither of them is really an ideal or favorable matchup for you.
So, yeah, I think that's going to be a fun thing to watch. And, yeah, you definitely highlighted it to start in a right way. This would be a challenge regardless. But without your preferred, one of your preferred linebackers, your preferred defensive tackle in D'Nico Autry, that it's going to be really incumbent upon Mari Edwards, going to be incumbent upon To'oto'o and the other guys that are going to filter in those places to make sure that middle of the field is well contained and played properly.
But and also, I would just point out, these are also questions that we've had, like position groups that we've had questions about for the entire offseason.
Yes.
Now, we feel good about Christian Harris, the D'Nico Autry sign, and I think everybody was, you know, would give that a favorable mark.
100%.
But then when we talk about the depth, and this is something I've been hitting on for a long time, when you talk about the depth of the team, specifically the defense, okay, you lose those guys. You lose two of those guys, and now what? Now what does it look like? This has been an ongoing question for me in the offseason and the preseason, and it's one that's going to rear its head, I think, in week one. How do they respond? Now, I'm not saying it's the end of the world, but I do want to see how it works out.
Sure. And I think that's an interesting thing, kind of balance to strike. I know that earlier in the segment that you mentioned earlier, the start of the show at 10 a.m., we brought up Lopez's five things that the Texans need to do better if they want to be that team that ultimately a lot of people believe them to be able to be. And some, I think someone on the text line took that as all, well, you know, all the optimism's gone. No, the optimism is still there.
Heck no.
But this is getting into the nitty gritty of it, is these are the things that you need to see in order for that optimism to be
good to great.
This is more, look, validated. This is more intrigue than pessimism.
Yeah.
Right? Like, it's not even.
Good to great. You were good. You surprised a lot of people. Now you're talking about being great. We got to get better at these things.
Yeah. Yeah. And to your, like, mm-hmm. the first thing that you talked about, Lopez, about getting better at taking the ball away.
Mm-hmm.
Well, as dynamic as Anthony Richardson is, we've seen that they will give you some gifts, or there is potential there to force a fumble. You know, he can be careless with the ball at times.
He'll throw it right to you.
Because of some of his superhuman ability, sometimes he might believe in it too much or miscalculate it, if you will. Mm-hmm. So, forcing fumbles is a possibility. Intercepting it is a possibility. Seth talked about this as well, being on the same page with the receivers.
Yes.
Where are they in terms of that? Have they made a jump from where it looked like they were in the preseason going up against Bengals backups and it didn't look great versus going up against most of pretty much the Texans first stringers, save for Christian Harris? Like, it's going to be good. It's going to be good stuff.
Yeah. And along those lines, just to wrap this up, I think you asked an interesting question in one of your thoughts here, and it has to do with one of the rookies who got his number changed on this defense.
Yeah, so I want to see the Kamari Lassiter, A.D. Mitchell matchup. Like, I feel like there's a game within the game, kind of like the game within the game that D'Amico Ryans didn't want to speak of between him and Shane Steichen. We know that's there. We know that's real.
Oh, yeah.
I think that there is one, maybe even to a greater level, to a greater degree, with these two guys being former teammates of Georgia, winning national titles together. And then also, like, I wonder who, you know, Mo City Mitch, you know, like, hey, look, man, I know you Mo City Mitch, but everybody from the town going to be rooting for Kamari Lassiter, for your former teammate who is now representing the hometown team. And you, the hometown kid, is playing for the division rival up there behind enemy lines, dog. So I'm interested to see how that goes if they get to match up against each other, the rookies,
right,
and what that looks like.
Plus, I think that could possibly serve, and y'all tell me if I'm wilding here, if I'm stretching here. I think that could serve as a little bit of a easier entry point into the starting outside cornerback role that Kamari Lassiter is going to have 100% for the entirety of the season.
Familiarity, you played him, you know his game. Absolutely.
Yeah. No, I love it. And really with Kamari Lassiter, I think another thing was we didn't feel like we saw a whole bunch for whatever reason in the preseason. Possibly it was just because he was doing his job. But for whatever reason, we remember Daniel Jones was targeting Derek Stingley. You know what I mean? Like, we want to see more. Like, we're confident in Kamari Lassiter, but we want to see more of him. And I think that A.D. Mitchell is going to be a big part of their game plan. Obviously, they have Michael Pittman Jr. as well. So, let's see how that shakes.
Okay. B. Scott's thoughts. T-H-O-U-G-H-T-S.
Common spelling, baby.
That's right.
Common spelling.
Y'all don't say nothing about my man. That's a good, wholesome
That's right.
family man, Brandon Scott.
Yeah, it is.
Need y'all to understand that. And he's still with us for the next segment, which is What's Poppin'. Let's talk about what's happening, including, are you one of the people that, like me, just can't watch none of these Disney channels anymore, especially ESPN and ABC. We'll talk about that and more next.
The biggest stories in sports and entertainment. Sports Radio 610 style. In the Loop presents What's Poppin'.
That's right. In the Loop, Sports Radio 610. You got John Lopez. You got Figgy Fig. You have myself, Reginald Atula. And for Tuesday, and for one more segment only, Brandon Scott in with us, as he typically will be, 11 a.m. To noon every Tuesday. How you doing, brother?
Man, living good, man. Glad to be here with y'all. Y'all are humming today, man. Sounding good.
Yeah.
Feels natural.
I appreciate it. Yeah,
so,
man.
Y'all keep up the good work, man.
Football, right? We got some college football this weekend. We'll talk about that here later. We have game week this week, because you've got the Texans heading up to Indianapolis this weekend. And I settled up also in this nice Texans hat that's right in front of me.
You updated it?
I updated it because I owed it a couple of dollars. Now, what happened was there was $2 in there, and I owed it $2, and I only had $5. So what I did was I went ahead and swapped that out, and now I'm good for one more Dallas reference if I accidentally make
it. Right. Oh, okay. I was going to say, you got your change out of there? You in there doing cash register action with the helmet?
I have to be on the up and up, right? I have to make sure that the people know that I am handling my business as best I can.
Yes, sir. Make sure the count is right.
That's right. Always, look, if there's one thing that you can't mess with, it's something I've learned. Don't mess with the money.
Yeah.
Don't, right?
God. Yeah.
And always comes back to that.
It's a great filter to view a lot of things from. Like, if there's something where you're like, man, what happened there? You're like, well, might have messed with the money.
Might have messed with the money.
If we're being completely honest. And you know what? That ultimately inspires, or maybe not inspires, but has some level of influence on what's happening here. I don't know how you take in your television nowadays, Lopez, Fig, B. Scott, but for me personally, I am on this DirecTV stream thing. I've found it to be a close tie.
Oh, you are?
It's a close tie to cable without being cable.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And so, like, I like it, like a stream or whatever, but it still feels kind of cable without having to have a trillion different apps, although I still have a whole bunch of the apps.
Mm-hmm.
And nope, now Disney, as a parent company and all of their entities, including obviously ESPN, which is vital for our particular, part of this,
mm-hmm.
they're in a carriage dispute. Their contract ran up, and so, you know, in order for DirecTV to carry Disney channels going forward, they're going to need to up the price because Disney says that they have, they have things that are more valuable now and they want more money. They also want DirecTV to pay for carrying their apps. They want their apps to be a part of the DirecTV situation. They want DirecTV to pay for that, and I guess DirecTV ain't feeling it. So for the second year in a row, although last year was with Charter, ESPN not able to be seen on this Labor Day heading into the NFL season because they want more money from these.
The price of the brick went up.
Yeah, price of the brick did go up. Shout out to The Wire.
Yeah, and that's basically it. What Figgy just said, price of the brick just went up, and it is a classic carriage dispute. New media, it's kind of just the way things work now. And as far as me, man, how I'm impacted, I can say pretty confidently here, man, DirecTV and I had a falling out years ago.
Yeah. Oh!
So we ain't been good for a long time.
Oh.
I long since left DirecTV. So
that sounds like a story.
Oh, man. So, I mean, I still got some DirecTV property that I probably should have been sent back, some wires, some boxes, and everything like that.
They're never seen them.
They ain't never seen them ever again.
Don't worry about
ever again. I've long since moved on to foot. So when this was happening, Reginald, man, yes. over the weekend, I was just kind of sitting back, like with my popcorn, watching everybody be upset because they couldn't see the game. It happened right as that game was going to kick off.
Yes,
right?
LSU.
Right as LSU-USC was about to kick off. And everybody's like, oh, man, I can't watch the game. I'm like, man, I've been on this football for a while because me and DirecTV ain't been good in literally a year, at least 4 or 5 years since we've been good. So, yeah, man, I may or may not owe them money that they never gonna see again.
They're gonna have to come get it.
And that's fine. Yeah, exactly. And so, yeah. So yeah.
I like that.
Come and take it, as some might say.
I like that. I like your approach. I'm behind you 100%. But I think this is an ESPN problem.
Yeah,
I agree.
Like they do they not realize how the world works now?
Yeah,
how consumption works?
I think they do.
No, they do, but they figured, let's do it right now for one of the biggest games of the year right now.
Exactly.
It ain't gonna work.
It just make it uncomfortable.
It's the holdout, right? Like, this is a holdout. Right. In those terms, they are like, hey, man, we're going to hit you where it hurts. We know that you've got people sitting on their couches, lining up,
but
ready to watch.
But it hurt. Those people can find it in a number of different places.
Can they?
Yes.
Because this is where I also have some beef with ESPN on this and Disney. Right. Everybody got my ire at this point. I was like, all right, cool, man. The DirecTV ain't going. I got ESPN Plus.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
Pop on ESPN Plus. You can't watch it even if you have the ESPN Plus subscription. You can't watch the game. You got to have it wants you to put in your TV provider in order to still watch the ESPN games, which are on ESPN Plus.
Yeah,
that's why I don't like ESPN Plus.
And so everybody got, like, I'm mad at everybody.
Yeah.
Everybody can get the smoke from me.
DirecTV,
AT&T, ESPN, Disney, all y'all hate you.
Yeah, I think that's rightful smoke for all of those directions. But I'm going to side with Lopez's point here. You still got all of these other options. Like, when worst comes to worst, and look, the two, Reginald, Figgy, both of y'all, man, I know y'all can figure this out if you really put your mind to it.
Oh, yeah.
Like going to the dark web.
Or the less than legal sites?
Yeah.
I was on it.
That's what I'm saying.
I had to watch the game.
Like before I did Fubo, I figured I had a friend that helped me figure that part out. So there is so many different ways to skin the cat, if you will. Like, yeah, no, I don't know if it hurts as much as they would like.
It's not. It's not. I do.
It does.
No, it doesn't.
Yes, like, there are ways to work around, but the reason why people go through these means are because they're more convenient. Going through those inconvenient means, I'll do it if I have to, but I want to get back to that convenience. And I think a lot of people are still in that place. And ultimately, that pressure is still going to be placed on DirecTV to get the deal done because you're going to lose those
rights. But that's if you pay for the convenience. The issue is, I think, and this is the issue that everybody's going to run into, is what if you get to the point where people are like, you know what? I don't want to pay for the convenience. I don't want to put up with the back and forth, the inevitable carriage dispute, the, you know, all of this you know, all of this new media stuff that we're, that you're dealing with. You know what? I'll figure it out. I'll find, you know, another streaming service or a way around it, or I'll use my girlfriend's or my uncle's or my brother's Fubo account or whatever it is. Like, there's so many different ways to figure out a way to watch a game.
And that's on DirecTV, because ultimately then that means ESPN is like, yo, you don't want to have even one game where you're missing, because ultimately that means you're going to lose subscribers. They're going to go watch it somewhere else, and that place is paying us our money.
But no doubt DirecTV took the L that night.
No.
Like, that's for sure, because that's who everybody gave the smoke to in the immediacy.
Yeah. Exactly. I agree with that, but I think ESPN, I disagree with that. I think ESPN's very full of itself. Like,
oh, absolutely.
You have to have us.
But they do.
They're trying to hustle.
No, DirecTV wants you, but they don't have to have you at that price. And viewers, as we've been talking about, like, I'll give you a good example, because I've got all my stuff, all my apps here in Houston, but I keep a trailer down in Aransas Pass. I can watch any game I want down there, because I've already downloaded all the apps that I know I can get this from here and this from there. And that fans will watch the game, you know. So I think ESPN is just like, oh, you must have us. Nah, you know, we want you, but not at that price.
Well, but this is the thing that we also know about linear television at this point. The only thing that is appointment television that keeps this thing going is live sports. And ESPN is the largest proprietor of live sports right now. No, they need them.
Mm-hmm.
The business model needs live sports. It's the reason why NBA, NFL, all their rights fees keep going up, is because you need these live sports.
I think it's ESPN that needs the live sports.
I agree. I think the
ESPN
leverage
needs the live sports. Well, you're right in what you're saying, but who needs what? It's ESPN that needs the live
sports. Totally
agree. The consumer, the people, we gonna figure out a way to watch live sports.
DirecTV, one way or another. You're right. DirecTV needs them.
Yeah.
But I'm saying ESPN doesn't have the leverage they think they have.
So do you think DirecTV should stand their ground and call their bluff?
Yes.
I personally,
because they losing a lot of customers, man.
They
just
are.
Off of this 1 week, just one, two games.
They can stay in their ground, but they better fold by Sunday. Because that's what happened last year with Charter, right? Charter, ultimately, they stood their ground for a week, and they're like, when this NFL comes around, it will be big problems if we do not figure it out. And they figured it out by then. I imagine that's got to be the playbook, right? People will be willing to miss the U.S. Open. All right, cool, right? Maybe they're willing to miss the college football games that came this weekend. All right, fine. Monday Night Football, baby?
Yeah.
Oh, you better figure that out.
Yeah. Yeah, no, I agree with that. I absolutely agree with that. But that's why it's a curious, because kind of got this triangular deal of who needs what. Like, we need live sports. I need to carry live sports. I need to, you know what I mean? Like, everybody, it's kind of like everybody needs each other kind of triangularly.
Right.
If that makes sense.
And the thing that is tough, and this is where I definitely come back and 100% agree with both of you guys, even though we had our little kind of different views on this, is that nobody loses but the fans in this.
Yeah.
Right?
Yes, that, 100%.
Right? ESPN and, Disney, and then when you look at DirecTV, they're battling back and forth over who pays a certain amount of money. But ultimately, it's if Disney wins and DirecTV, you know, spends more on that, that cost comes to the viewer, right? And ultimately, if DirecTV is able to keep it lower, right, we're closer to another dispute with ESPN or whatever, Disney, and that ultimately then affects the viewer. I think it's us that loses out in all of this,
I'll say a sad part for me is that I've already reached a point of acceptance that I gotta be subscribed to everything. Like, we talk about, like, cable, like even having the conversation about cable is kind of awkward for me, because I already reached a point where, you know what?
You got all the apps.
I gotta have Prime. I gotta have Apple TV. I gotta have Fubo. I gotta have Netflix. I gotta have HBO Max. I got it. I gotta have Peacock. Bro, I got it all. All of it. And I've already done it. I've already charged it to the game. I understand that everybody is not in a position to do that, nor do they need to do that. And so cable just makes sense. That's how they watched it. So I am talking about it from a kind of a biased lens of somebody that's already done the calculation of, you know what, I'm just gonna buy all the streaming services.
Part of doing business for us.
And I'm not gonna miss nothing.
Yeah.
Period.
But here's the thing that really upset me, because I'm also similar in that vein. So I was like, all right, y'all have your disputes, I'll watch it on the app. And the thing that really made me mad is they also withheld the app. And I was like, oh, okay, so now you're playing with me. Now you don't have respect for me.
Yeah, that's disrespectful.
And so
that's disrespectful.
Who's to say that NBC does not get into a dispute with whatever carrier and then they go, oh, you have Peacock? That don't matter.
That's like putting a finger in your face. That's me wagging my finger and you're like, hey, don't put your finger in my face.
We're trying to apply pressure over here and you have to deal with it because we're trying to apply pressure to get more money. And that was the thing that really made me sick about all of this.
I can respect that for sure.
Before we go, I did find this to be interesting because we've been talking about good teams and how they handle contract disputes as a tie-in to that. Robert Saleh, head coach of the New York Jets, has been missing Hassan Reddick, a player that they just traded for and is somehow already in a contract dispute with the Jets. He delivered this quote. He was asked on whether getting Hassan Reddick in would be a bonus after they've planned and worked so long without him. And he said this, quote, it's like finding change in the couch, I guess, right? No, he's a special player, and when he eventually gets here, he's only going to help us. I mean, he said that man's changing the couch?
Yo, not only will you, so you won't pay changing the couch? Like, if that's all it is, then go ahead and break me off this money.
Yeah.
You know, why did you trade for me without the willingness to give me the new contract that you knew, probably already knew that I wanted? It's the reason why I had to leave Philly to begin with, the reason why I was available to begin with. So this is going back to our earlier conversation, Lopez, about
good organizations
versus not so good organizations. Yeah. This be what the bad organizations or not so good organizations do. Yeah. This the type of thing that they be on.
Exactly.
So yeah, that this is indicative of where they are as a franchise and how poorly they are run.
Shout out to all the bootleggers. I get it, right?
I'm like, looking at them right now.
Everybody's on the text line like, why don't you just do the less than legal? And I'm like, I know that I can.
I'm not going to lie. I'm going to write down a couple of these. I'm going to write down.
Okay. All right. I'm back here. Quiet.
Y'all coming up. I respect it. I understand. But I think within the conversation, you know, there's a lot of people, more than we care to give credit for, that are also still trying to stay within the means of, hey, this is what we should do. And even within that, these companies are making it really hard.
And to your point, Reggie, really, I think really they playing with people.
Yeah.
I think that's the bit. Yeah. They are playing with people. And that in and of itself is worthy of criticism and not worthy of respect.
But you know who never played with you? Brandon Scott. B. Scott hanging out with us. Texans Insider. And then just generally, great dude hanging out with us in Loop every Tuesday, 11 to noon. Appreciate you, my man.
Yes, sir. Appreciate y'all for having me.
All right, always, always. Coming up next, let's get into Nick Caserio as he joined Payne and Pendergrass for like a whole hour. He talked about some really interesting things with these Texans as we're heading into week one with them visiting Indy. We'll talk about that next.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
I'm John Oran, and I have a new podcast called The Varsity. I will bring on the smartest people I know to break down the hottest topics in sports media. Available now on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Norsides and bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Nor taste combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit nor.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.
In life and recovery, every day is a little different. Embrace the good days, the not-so-good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.